There are few words more important in the lexicon of club cricket than wheels. You could be talking about your fast twitch quick, who cranks it up when needed, leaving you feeling safe in the ring, protected by your on-field king. You could be talking about footwear. They say the eye is the window to the soul. In club cricket, the wheel is your ticket to the circuit. If the circuit is your kingdom, then your wheels are your king. Or you could be talking about your transportation. You can hear them whispering, "Have you seen his wheels?" Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the king of cricket wheels, the Pajero Sport. This bad boy has advanced four-wheel drive performance with Super Select 2 four-wheel drive system, letting you switch between two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive at up to 100 kilometres an hour, so you can handle any terrain with ease. That means away days just got that much better. But there's more. With 3.1-tonne braked towing capacity, it's the Car Expert 2023 Best Four-Wheel Drive Off-Road SUV. That's match-winning gear, guaranteeing you make your way up the grades. Pajero Sport. Take adventure to the next level.
Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, the boys are here.
They're nervous. We're calm.
Boysies.
Get rarer.
Why is this happening to me?
Me.
We're not getting Maccas and you can blame my son.
Get a few today, did you?
It's great to contractually be obliged to be here.
Is anyone going to listen to this or what?
No, I actually don't know what happens in third grade.
You either get nude or get in the shower. Or we're throwing all your cricket gear in, bro.
I was like, no chance I'm going to fall in.
19th century Pax Britannica.
Fuck! On today's show, we are talking Australia, West Sydney's the first test at Adelaide, and indeed the second test, the day-night test in Brisbane. We're talking about the BBL in 2023, getting into the pointy end now, Pezza. A double super over in India, Afghanistan, and that's before we get into possibly the funniest test series possible for TGC, India and England. The five-match test series starts on Thursday. That's before we get into hashtag AskTGC. We said during the weekend that Glenn Maxwell is on the show. Pezza, Glenn Maxwell is not on the show.
I know, mate.
He had a look and he thought, no, I don't fancy it. I don't fancy it. Glenn had to pull out, but he might come on another time. So there is that as well. If you want to get behind TGC, patreon.com/greatcricketer, where you get hashtag AskTGC Fridays and everything we've ever done on Patreon. Every single Friday. Patreon.com/greatcricketer. 4,060 patrons, Pezza. Not bad. But if you want to join TGC, well, there's even more good news for you.
Hey, thank you to all the dummy applications and joke applications for the most recent job we posted. We are after a business operations manager. Go to greatcricketer.com/jobs if you can get around that. We're just looking for some business acumen, some commercial acumen, someone to help bring some operational rigor to this this venture.
And a rig.
That we have here. A rig is not necessary. I mean, well, wherever your rig's at, that's fine. Applications close at the end of this week, I think. But get in touch. Just find the job wherever it's posted. If you can't find where it's posted, it's probably not a great start, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I already had heaps of great applications so far. So I'd love to hear from people if they are keen.
Let's talk Australia, West Indies. First test there at Adelaide there, one of the greatest tests that will long live in the memory. Australia win by 10 wickets. The West Indies roll out for 188 after Pat Cummins, indeed the captain. A bowling captain? What's that about? Inserted the West Indies. They were bowled out for 188. Australia then made 283 thanks to Travis Head making 119. West Indies then all out for 120, meaning Australia needed to chase 26, and they did that indeed manfully. The Australian men's cricket team did that without losing a wicket, although Usman Khawaja was hit in the head. More on that later. Did you enjoy the test match, Pezza? Was it an experience that you thought, yeah, it was on, I liked it. I liked Adelaide, I liked the test match, it was good fun. I saw my guys do some stuff, my team won.
I always enjoy it. I mean, I do. I'm just going to be honest. It's cooler to say that I didn't. Oh, look, I kept an eye on it, you know. I decry the degradation of this format that we know and love. But at the end of the day, it's still something for the eyes when it's on.
Yeah.
It still connects me with my childhood and, you know, the strength of my family at that time.
Right.
And you know, the movements and the shapes and the colours are all, they're all of, you know, a feeling of joy for me.
Mm.
But at the same time, it was a game where simultaneously we're upset at how Australia played and they won by 10 wickets in 2 days and a bit. And the question was, did you bring your sticks? So
The West Indies made 310-ish runs in the game, and 80 of those were put on by their numbers 10, 11.
I'm very concerned about what Australia's doing in terms of leaking, you know, in the 10th wicket.
Yeah, just not
a couple of articles about that.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned.
Yeah, yeah. Things to work on in the nets.
Is it, like, could it be clearer that the Australian side is extremely tired and they're just doing what it takes? Like, I am disappointed they're not bringing a lot of bulk numbers. We're getting some bulk for Hazelwood, okay?
Yeah.
That's fucking good. And that's overdue.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. And he passes 250 wickets and he averages 25. And all of those numbers are adding up really nicely for me. Everything feels clear and normal and I can continue on with my life with those numbers. Mm. The divisibility of 25, everything about it is really good, yes. Okay? And he's looking good and he's a bush horse and it's a wild Brumby, okay? In mythology, anti-authoritarianism, all good, haircut good. Aside from that, though, we're just the boys are just getting it done. You know, we're concerned at an aging team, a creaky team. They're still 4-0 for the summer, but yeah, we're still got the monocle on going. What are we looking at down the track? New Zealand, are they going to pose a question or two to this side? I think yes, but
Australia hasn't lost a game under Pat Cummins' captaincy at home. That's quite good. And I guess my point being, like, this game went for 2.3 days and the West Indies 10-11 basically made it go into a third day. I guess that was my point. So, I mean, absolute domination. They won by 10 wickets. Just got a couple of question marks, though.
Mm. West Indies were in the game for a little bit, so, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, to that end, like, pitch was a bit of a shit tip. I mean, like, a test match that goes for that long that should have been over sooner, well, could have been over sooner because the thing that prevented that did happen. So, you know, that being last week at Stand a couple of times. But, like, it was kind of a shit tip, which has actually kind of been all the pitches in Australia this summer. I think part of our frustration is that we haven't got the bulk runs. Like, Australia feeds on runs.
We're never happy, though.
That's what happens here. And we haven't got the bulk runs because they've all been kind of, I mean, sporting would be a maybe more polite term for it. I mean, none of them have been, like, shocking, but I think it's just been he's playing hard to score.
The decks for the Pakistan series were really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They offer something for everybody. Yeah. So
only 200s in the summer.
What was Perth? Perth was fast and bouncy, doing its thing, a bit inconsistent. Warner got a daddy 100, so runs were possible. Mm-hmm. I think everyone except that the MCG wicket has turned around remarkably.
Yeah.
It's excellent. The SCG is slow. It depends what sort of cricket you like. It's still offered stuff for people. It's not really for me. You know, all fielders in front of the wicket. I like guys behind the wicket and chests and that kind of expression.
Guys behind the wicket and chests.
Personal proclivity, and we're not shaming anyone there. I think Adelaide was inconsistent bounce. Right to ask questions about it. Don't think it's getting a high rating or anything like that. But by the same token, if you have a summer of placid decks where, like, guys are taking, you know, full freight with the blade, we'll probably start saying that it's a bit boring, yeah. You know. So
yeah. It's hard to get right, isn't it?
Decks have given the opposition a chance with a couple of tosses won. It's about as good as you can ask for. I mean, really, like, the summer has gone way better in terms of crowd turnout and interest than I think many people had feared. I mean, what about Adelaide people turning up to this game?
Unbelievable.
You know, like every single facet of the game and the way it was structured, the way it was put on, the way it was scheduled, who it was against, when, what, you know.
Why?
Like, why, you know, ILT20 just started. Would you know, influence people to stay away, and yet they didn't, even on the last day.
Yeah.
What is this, 17,000 coming through the gates for 100 minutes of cricket, which was overs.
Yeah.
You know, for what it could have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does that say about us, Higos? You know, what do Australians want? You know, is it just cricket season? We just turn up during cricket season? Is that it? I don't know. Do we simply love cricket when, one, our team is good, and two, it's just a seasonal pastime? You know, it only needs the mere appearance of a contest to thrive.
Mm.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe every opposition as you would say, the Washington Generals. Like, I mean, I'm not sure this team is quite the Harlem Globetrotters, but I think people do appreciate what the team has done, especially winning the World Cup at home. Just before our summer started, look at, like, obviously the ODI and the test teams are slightly different. They've got a lot of guys carry over, but, like, maybe people do it. Like, no, this is a good team and I like watching them, so I don't really care who they play.
And just the right amount of people to hate in the team as well, because you've got your own agendas for who you like to come in. Throw in a little bit of, you know, COVID state rivalry as well. Mm. Not bad. Not a, you know, the honchos at CA have done something right.
So in the game itself, Hazelwood took 9 wickets, took 4 in the first, as did Cummins, and then Hazelwood took 5 in the second. That totals 9 wickets for the game. Mm-hmm. He's 11th all-time on the list for Australians. He's 1 behind Jason Gillespie, so that on 258 polls. So that will mean that, probably as of the end of this week, the current bowling lineup, 4 of the top 10 test wicket takers ever in the same bowling lineup. Not bad. And Stark is only 7 behind Dennis Lilly, who is 4th, I guess. Would that be right? Yeah. Warren McGrath, Lilly, Stark. Is that right? Who am I missing there?
Brett Lee's up there, isn't he?
Yeah, 310 for Brett Lee. Mm. Anyway, I guess the point being, like, fuck, it's pretty good. It is good, isn't it? Like, Lyon over 500, Stark 350, Cummins 260-something, Hazelwood 260. Oh, it's unbelievable. 4 in the top 10 at the same time.
Yeah. Is anyone else
more of a Lance Morris kind of guy? I hope I get to see him bowl.
We'll talk about the ODI squad.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to see. Back. But yeah, and they're playing. They're playing every game this summer. It's
wouldn't you?
First time that's happened since 2013-14. And they're probably going to go play against New Zealand as well. Exactly.
Yeah.
We explained on the dailies, you know, this was your phrase. It's just feedback.
Yeah.
It's just a feedback thing. Every so often you get some, you know, we get taking bulk wickets, I suppose. But yeah, every so often you get an opposition where you can strap the old feedback to the neck and go to work. Turn it over, go to work.
Nom, nom, nom.
Exactly. A bit of salt lick afterwards to finish it off and then gallop around the track.
Put the blinkers on, pale hay. What are you worried about?
Off you go, lie down, have a rest, get up and do it again. Crack of dawn. I went out to Flemington on Saturday.
Did you? How was it?
My father-in-law took the family out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see Josh Hazelwood run around?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Lovely day out.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely day out. Mm-hmm. Lots of, yeah, like, obviously beautiful course, talking out the side of my mouth.
Good track.
To bookies. No idea.
How's the track running today?
No idea. Yeah, you know, there's so much money.
Yeah.
The facilities are so good.
Well, you forget it's a sport of kings, Pezza.
Oh, indeed. And we all walked around like kings.
Yeah, that's
right. So what's this built off the back of? Anyway. The kids had a great time. There was a teddy bear picnic and they had their face painted and everything.
That does sound nice.
Yeah. The old hooves galloped down the track there. Here comes Joshie Hazelwood.
Usman Khawaja has been cleared of a jaw fracture and passed his first concussion test. He was obviously hit in the head by Shamar Joseph. We'll talk about him in a second. You know what we're talking about right now? He took 5 for 94. His first wickets was obviously Steve Smith and Marnus at the end of day one, then picked up Green, Head and Stark to complete a 5 for 20 overs. 5 for 94, fucking awesome. Hardly playing any first-class cricket. Travis Head saying, like, this guy's a real deal. Incredible. Incredible talent.
Mm. Yeah, dog. And, like, does that make you question? Like, the thing I love about his story was that he was playing like tape ball cricket 18 months ago. Yeah. Is it another feather in the cap for the idea of just pure genetic advantage? And what about some of the academies we're plopping our kids into early days here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the resources available. This guy's got a tape ball in his hands 18 months ago and he's taken FIFA against us.
Yeah.
Away from home.
I mean, I think most...
And it looked good.
Like the scouts these days, most of their role is just to identify a father with bad knees, like a big old war horse, you know? And they're like, okay, what's that pedigree doing? What's his seed doing?
Yes.
And then you are looking at the rigs of children, basically. That's the role of a scout these days. And if you identify some sort of behemoth there, you're thinking, well, can we get this guy, you know, just doing doorknobs for us, you know? Do you know exactly what I'm saying?
Mate, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I'd love scouts to get in touch, by the way. Have they identified the ability to read the seed of a father?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just generate this stuff on computers.
Mm.
What will the son produce?
Yeah, what are we looking at here?
Yeah.
Can this kid run a 10-5?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of shout outs, if I could just track back a second, just on Hazelwood, a serious point. Can any statistician get in touch, or someone who just is able to do the stats on Crick Info filter thing? I genuinely don't. Like, I think it's a thing, but I don't know how to do it.
What are we looking at? Rick Air?
Yeah, your Rick Ayres, your Rick Finlay.
Rick Finlay?
Your Swamp.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
People like these guys.
People like, not these guys, but the people like them.
Percentage of top order wickets for Hazelwood. V Stark. I just have a feeling that Hazelwood is taking a lot of fucking tough poles for Australia.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I'd love some data to support or take it back. And look, with Stark, it's completely trite to say he's taking cheapies or whatever. He's just extremely good at it. If you're the captain, you're going to throw in the ball when the tail's in because he bowls rapid in-swingers that they're afraid of. So that will help you take wickets, which is generally the idea, and actually minimise the amount of runs the other team scored. So I totally get it. But just Hazelwood is – I just get the feeling the quality of batters he's getting out are of a very, very high standard, and I think that matters. You know, who is knocking over, where they're batting.
I think specifically with Stark and Hazelwood, because Cummins has always been like the best bowler when he's been in the team, and then obviously Lyon plays his role, and the amount of wickets is just unbelievable. Wherever he finishes up is going to be incredible. But like I was looking at so Stark has got a better record. He's got a better average and a better strike rate than Mitchell Johnson. Now, Mitchell Johnson, when he was in the team, like obviously he was he had some tough years, but then he came back and had some great summers, especially here. But like he was always the best bowler in the team, Mitchell Johnson. Australia relied on him so heavily. He was the strike force. He was also the most stable player in the team, a regular fixture in the side. If he bowled well, Australia would often win. But Stark is kind of your raw sex on the side, you know. Like it's just like, okay, we can allow for this because of the accuracy and the consistency.
A nefarious affair.
Oh yes, sizzling. if Stark played in a different era, he would be like our absolute standout star. But now he bowls a couple of bad spells. He's like, nah, look a little bit slingy, isn't he? Hazelwood might be the same thing. If he was the lead bowler in any other generation, just about, he'd be like, oh, this guy would be one of the all time greats.
But maybe he would have to do more donkey work and, you know, bowl a little bit slower or within himself. And
sure,
you know, maybe it's not like the quartet just completely complements each other. It's not missing anything.
No.
Anything you want. You know, Cummins has it at his disposal, and now he's got two fucking all-rounders in Green and Mitch Marsh to hand the ball to as well. So it's still not enough somehow. I still don't like it, but all the best to him.
Mm. A touching tribute to Shamar Joseph's debut there. anyway, so he hit Usman Khawaja with about one run to win, I think, in the fourth innings there. Hit him in the jaw, got him under the grill. That was ugly. But I think he's going to be okay. Well, it seems like he's going to be okay by all reports in terms of to play in the Gabba test match starting on Thursday. So that'll sort of, I guess, negate any conversation about, well, you know, does Renshaw come in? Is he going to be able to play for the Heat?
Again, it's selfish. Selfish from this team and these players who are hanging on. I do think that will become a theme in the next couple of years. You can just see there are people with, you know, guns in the holsters ready. They're waiting for this team, you know, to creak. But selfish to clear himself of. I mean, sorry, the reports are that he's looking pretty good.
Yeah,
he's on course, which is a reference to the fact he's been on the golf course.
He's been on
the
golf course, yes.
But he's on course to play. He's been netting, no complaints. So it sounds to me like it's something at some head, you know, issue would have to pop up between now and then, experience some concussion effects or whatever.
Yeah.
But instead, it just looks like it's going to be the team again, selfishly.
Mm.
So
boring.
Yeah, boring. So now it's, you know.
There's no narratives there.
Yeah. Now my guy's not mixing the sports drink as 13th man.
I mean, I suppose the most interesting thing will come into this test match. So we're talking about bulk runs. It's obviously going to be hard for someone to go big. I would imagine the pink ball test match, usually the ball sort of dominates in those tests that have been in Australia. You know, although we've never seen, have we seen one at Brisbane before? Yeah, we have, haven't we? There's been one before. Mm. When was that?
I don't know.
No.
New Zealand? No, they played Adelaide. Like the first pink ball test was in Adelaide, wasn't it?
I don't think it was India. So we're looking at maybe it was the West Indies again, you know, like 7 or 8 years ago. Anyway, there's no way to find that information out, so I guess we'll never know. But I suppose that an interesting theme that will come out of this test match is what happens if Steve Smith doesn't go big, you know, Cameron Green, if he fails, what does this all mean for us, you know? Obviously, Dave Warner's gone. So Steve Smith is a regular. Like, because the question is,
Smith needs 100 or he's out. He's sacked.
Like, how long do you think before the? I mean, if he fails again, the calls will come that he's like, well, he just needs to go to four. And there's so much pressure on Green. But
I think anybody like in the Australian team who doesn't score bulk runs or look good for a little while is going to be subject to questions. You know, even Steve Smith. Steve Smith has a mortgage on his spot in the side, probably for now, as long as he wants it. I guess that if he has another game where it still looks pretty scratchy and opening the batting doesn't really address you know how he looks. Sorry, you just gave me a circle there with your finger. I was thinking you got me again.
I'm gonna punch you in the arm. Now.
Right, mate, have a look at that.
Maybe if you try it.
I guess you know the din will rise about what indeed is going on. You know whether in fact the you know like he may have moved to this spot as some kind of desperate sign of wanting to fix something that might just be indicative of a decline. But I think he's got way more rope to explore that before those conversations get serious. Mm. And I would hazard a guess or bet that he will score runs because that's what he does.
Yeah.
It's
funny because there's only three more tests that Australia plays until the big series, which is India here next year. So, you know, I can sort of see a scenario where it's like if it doesn't quite work out in these next three games, and then you obviously have a Shield season before next summer, and whoever the guys at that time does really well, then there's going to be some calls to make those changes. But it's almost like even that sample size of what would have been four tests for Smith opening the batting by then, it's really too small. You know, like if you were giving
if
you were giving an upstart, someone a chance in the team, gave them four tests, maybe six or seven innings, the way Australia's been playing at the moment, not really getting much of a go to bat twice consistently anyway. But, you know, that's way too small. But then what do you do? Because then it's such a big series, and you've obviously won the last two series out here. They always play really well in Australia, whether they win the series or not. They always give us a game much more consistently anyway than what England have really in this century, since the year 2000. I mean, they obviously won tremendously in 2010-11 where they won three games by an innings. But apart from that, it's been pretty grim for England out here. So India is like the hardest series that Australia faces. Now, like, so, you know, coming to these questions, same thing with Cameron Green. I mean, there's just so much promise there, so much upside. But you've said this before, like, guys in international cricket win games for their country at the age of 24, which is what Cameron Green is, Shubman Gill, Harry Brooks, 24 as well, you know. It's not that young. You know, now is the time. I mean, they'd give him 5 years before, you know, they put the cue in the rack with Green. But I guess you want to start seeing some results, don't you?
But and this was the thing with Warner, like these things become problems if the team is losing matches, you know, if there's a correlation between those performances and losing games.
Yeah.
But like if that it's one of the upsides of having great players around you is it gives you time to bed in and settle in. And like they've won every game this summer. So sure, you look at it and you go, that's not great. And there's going to be times down the track with some tougher cricket where they're going to need to step up. But those games are down the track. I would say that the New Zealand series is going to be fucking hot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Because the Kiwis will be up for it. They're at home. They're hard to beat at home. Mm. You know, Kane Williamson is obviously a gun if he's around and fit.
I think he's going to play, yeah.
Daryl Mitchell is one of the best bats in the world. Their quicks always get the job done. I think Australia's going to be tested, you know. But the other thing about the Australian side is that they step up when the competition gets tougher. You know, that's when you see them at their best, generally speaking. So, yeah, it's Test cricket. You know, you got to deliver. I think Steve Smith's every chance at the moment. I think they should give him some long rope to get there. But who knows down the track, you know, if he continues to struggle, then perhaps the narrative will be as he goes into retirement that he was just having one last crack because, you know, the fire had gone or something had left. Who knows? But I reckon he'll score runs.
Mm. What do you want to see in Brisbane?
Who's got a milestone? Can Crick Viz bring up some stats or some shit around how much the ball's swinging? So I'll just get used to those trappings.
Yep.
Is anyone coming up to like a certain amount of test runs that has three zeros at the end?
Yep.
Wickets as well. Is there a zero at the end of someone's milestone?
Well, you might see Stark go past Lilly. That'll bring up some conversations.
All right. Where's Lilly? He rank?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a where do the bowlers rank summer?
Mm. What about like a close catch in like the slips or in front of the wicket where it looks like it might bounce, but it's sort of it's given, you know, not out on the field, but it looks like it was out. Then there was another one later in the game. Would you like that sort of conversation?
I would. I'd like chats about how they actually have to keep the square a bit lusher, to preserve the pink ball, because the pink ball softens more quickly and actually quite good to bat for between a
but then
do you declare early because you're going to get the fading light bounce or some shit
putting guys under pressure like a Steve Smith, like a Cameron Green
That's right, or like and what you need to understand is as the light's fading with that pink ball, that's actually the toughest seeing hours for the ball.
What about conversations about Brisbane being the Olympic City?
And what they're going to do, and that the Gabba's getting redeveloped.
What about any sort of discourse around how to fix West Indies cricket?
Down
for that.
Yeah.
Academies?
Yeah. Seed academies, selection? Yeah, that's right. Maybe a fellowship program with the West Indies can come into Sheffield Shield or starting twos or something.
Yeah. What about through. Like Brian Lara highlights or something?
Yeah. BC Lara, getting rid of the nets as well.
Yep.
I quite enjoy that. what about Curtly Ambrose jumping on the old speed bag in between wickets there as well? I don't mind it, you know. But it's
cricket, you know. It's the last game for the summer for the national team in the white clothing.
What about day two? We're gonna talk about that, or we're just gonna sidestep it in terms of the commentary.
So the term Australia Day, which is on Friday, day two of the Test match, will not be used by CA. CA will conduct a standard welcome to country ceremony on day one of the Test, which falls on Australia Day Eve, of course. Australia Day itself will be marked in passing by a ground announcer, and CA is set to acknowledge that the day means vastly different things to different people. CA is keen to promoting inclusivity and respect from patrons, regardless of their view on the date itself, which is widely viewed as a day of mourning by First Nations people. It's a day that's going to upset everyone.
Yeah, it's good from a social media algorithm perspective.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Lots of anger.
Are they selling any merchandise?
I'm not sure. Vis-a-vis flags.
Mm. And what do we do? What do we do if they're not? Do we boycott the opportunity to buy merchandise?
Well, you'd say that you're going to boycott, but if it's on the way.
Can I spray paint oi, oi, oi on the Gabba? Like they did Woolies? I'm just that guy.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I saw Chris Minns, the New South Wales Premier, and I did have to say that because they do swap a fair bit, but he's denounced Cricket Australia's decision not to use the term Australia on Ben Fordham's program.
Oh, yeah.
He says he asked whether he thought the date of Australia Day would change at some point. He said yes, but didn't anticipate in the short run the idea that you would take a national day away from any country, particularly Australia, as a strange one. So is he saying, I do anticipate it will change, but I still think we should celebrate this thing that many people want to change.
Yeah.
Celebrate the old day when the original Australians were, you know, where things changed.
I just couldn't what will happen is, here's what's going to happen, Pezza. The date will eventually change, and then like we'll just get a public holiday on a different time of the different day on the year, and then people will fuck around for a couple of days, and they'll take days off work and they'll celebrate, and you'll be announced as a fuckwit for doing that. Mm-hmm. But then 2 years later, everyone's gonna be like, nah, this is actually better now. That's what will happen. Just don't take a public holiday away from me. I like the time of year it is. It's in summer. It's nice. It's a nice day off in January for me. Mm. Okay, and then you're like, nah, it's this date now, and they'll go, okay.
I also just want to like love my country and not have people sort of upset my sense of stability and that when my public holiday is on the basis of history that I don't know about or want to know about.
Don't want to know about it. Yeah. That's not
I don't
really
read
my
a book or
really
listen
problem,
about
no.
that.
Not
I
really
wasn't taught
problem.
That either.
Nah.
Yeah. Just have a whole bunch of rabble rousers saying this is shit. This isn't good.
Can you imagine the amount of cunts listening to this? A lot of fucking furious right now. Oh, these fucking woke cunts.
Yeah.
Always good to upset the right kind of people. Pez, talking about the ODI squad, which
now
has been announced.
Now we're talking. This is a bigger story.
This is a fucking
this
hot.
This is
going to be a hot series. Hot series, Pezza. ODIs?
Yeah. Feb 2. Just after, locked in the calendar.
Just after the last World Cup.
Yep.
3 and a bit years before the next one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Champions Trophy around the corner in Pakistan. Time to start getting serious.
Yeah. Is it going to be played in Pakistan?
Yeah, go. Indeed.
Record-breaking young batter Jake Fraser-McGurk and uncapped pace bowler Xavier Bartlett have been called up to Australia's ODI squad to face the West Indies next month, with Glenn Maxwell rested and Jai Richardson ruled out through injury, of course. We were talking about it last week. So the ODI squad is Steve Smith's going to captain, Sean Abbott, Xavier Butler, Nathan Ellis, Cameron Green, Aaron Hardy, Travis Head, Josh Inglis, Marnus Labuschagne, Jake Fraser-McGurk, Lance Morris, Matt Short, Adam Zampa. Some names there, Pizza.
Lots to like. Now, look, it's not the side that they were going to pick for M to Bud a couple of months ago.
It's not the same
right?
side. No.
But it's very much a side with a view to, you know, reconfiguring and evolving. And I have to – I'm sorry, but last week this program called for Jake Fraser-McGurk in and around selection.
Yeah.
And it's been delivered. Bales is listening.
If he wasn't in it, we just wanted the round.
Well, and that's the next question. Mm. Are you bringing the Rooster into the squad just to simply get in and around the boys to understand the feel of the mm-hmm. dressing room, get the kit, where does he place his bag? Oh, these are the rhythms and, you know, contours of the Australian cricket team.
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to play him straight up to light it up?
Because
I tell you what, I am watching the game if Fraser McGurk's playing. I'm going
to
watch.
I like to see that.
Would you watch or would you room walk?
I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm watching. I like the idea of him in those colours.
Really?
With a brand new lid, like a fresh Australian lid.
Yeah, what colour?
Well, I prefer it to be yellow, but yeah, it's going to be green. So that's fine. But I also just like a young Australian batsman using a Kookaburra blade, because it takes me back to like Ponting, of course, mm-hmm. Justin Langer, Ian Healy, Damien Martin, you know? Some prime years of my life, like a peak Australian batsman. Mm. I've included Ian Healy in that for some reason. But like...
Was Marto Slazenger at one point as well?
He was Slazenger.
Yeah.
He was Slazenger.
Oh, no.
No, it was Gunn and Moore.
Gunn and Moore. I'm thinking that 93, 94 South Africa.
Was Damien Martin ever? I feel like I can picture Damien Martin for Western Australia with a Slazenger, early doors.
Wow. Hopping around.
Mm.
Definitely Gunn and Moore. Yeah. Hopping and shopping.
Mm.
And he went to Kookaburra in the end, huh?
Yeah, it was Kookaburra at the end, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So all those classical cover drives, flicks off the pads, and of course you get the power of Ponting, the pull shots, the drives, the hooks, the
belligerence.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. So I like that with a young, fresh Kookaburra sticker with a fresh green lid of Australia.
This isn't a sponsor segment.
I wish they were, because I wouldn't want some gloves.
That's right. Yeah. Reach out, Kookaburra. Yeah, I know that. Look, we're gonna get the bear back.
Yeah. Something to look
Morris.
At. Yeah.
I think Fraser McGurk, I'm guessing it's an in and around selection. They're going to give Matt Short the opening position. Like, he's replacing David Warner, Matt Short.
Well, he does, essentially.
Awesome. And just both formats. So let's just get used to that. Something new at the top of the order. It's a different angle. It's a different height than what we're used to as well. We're looking at a 6 foot plus.
Yeah, right hand as well.
Yeah.
Lean right hander.
Can you deal with that?
Engaged to... Eddie Wilson, is that a swimmer?
Yeah, I think he might have.
Yeah. I think that's
might
right.
Might have got there. Yeah, let's all just wait.
No one's saying anything. Yeah, Matty Wilson.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, pedigree, shoulders for days.
I see. So you're already thinking about children.
Yeah.
As well.
You know, his dad played for Australia a couple of games in the ODI. He's never quite made it, but his son.
I see. Sorry, I was like, Matt, what's dad play? Yeah. His son, exactly. And his brother Darcy.
That's right. Not to be used with Mr. Darcy, of course.
Aaron Hardy, straight in for Stoin.
Yep.
As well.
Yeah, Western Australia stuff.
You like
Western
it? Yeah.
Rig.
A chest pedigree. Rig. Yeah. Height. I like it.
It's
a face.
Yep.
So who? There's 13 there. Who's in the 11? Who's missing out? Nathan Ellis got to play.
Nathan Ellis will play.
I think
Xavier Bartlett, don't think, will play. But
so do you think Bartlett and McGurk will sit in the pine and just get in and around the boys? Basically it.
As long as it is a wooden bench, yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely. Yep. Most likely.
Yep. Next cab. Scenario, whether they're a cab or a person. Once again, the debate rages. But, it does.
I can't see how McGurk gets ahead of anyone.
Mm. Well, he's not ahead of Steve Smith, he'll play.
Or Travis Head, or Cameron Green.
Yeah. Or
Inglis.
Matt Short.
Mm. Yeah, so.
So.
That's.
Or Marnus.
Yeah, so we're running out of spots now. But I want it. But I want it.
Why would you play Marnus instead of Jake Fraser? Why don't you let Marnus chill? Just let him chill.
He doesn't want to chill.
Go, I know. Have a net. Backyard cricket with his Redlands boys.
Go and play
some grade cricket or something.
Yeah.
With respect.
If they're sniffing around finals, Marnus comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for the club. Grassroots.
It's all great cricket anyway. No, the Windies are good. Jai Richardson's side strain.
Yeah.
Hurts me.
Yeah.
Because he talk about cabs or waiting for one.
He has been for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah. And they wait for him. That's like a widower.
I think he's got some time on his side. Yeah.
I'll wait for you.
Yeah.
Seriously, Mumford and Sons.
Jai Richardson, how old is he? He's 27. Time on his side.
Yeah.
More years.
Maybe he's going through the injuries you have to have. Quick. Look at Cummins.
I think he's getting like multiple different injuries in different spots. So it's offset the other one.
If it was just a back, that'd be handy. Yeah. It's like, stressy. He must be quick.
It must be really fast.
What a badge of honor that is.
If you've got stress fractures in your spine.
Hot spots? You're hot spotting up? I just think when you turn on that game, I'd like to see I can't even remember the Australia ODI jersey now.
Here's what I don't want to see, Pez. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. What I don't want to see is the 13th over and Marnus and Steve Smith are batting.
Yeah. What? Yeah, like 30th over, 2 for 61. Nurdle around. Yeah.
Like, they're just fucking amazing players, but I want something new, Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, is it disrespectful?
Yeah.
Like it is.
Yes,
it is.
But we're talking
about ODIs.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it.
I mean, the format itself is to be disrespected.
It's a series for trappings. It's a series for eye hygiene. And I think the selectors have done well, given that the players in the test series have been so selfish as to play all these games.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the T20s I think will be good because West Indies full squad will then come out.
Yeah, Nicky P and all those.
Yeah, Jason Holder, etc. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Australia will be serious about it because there's a World Cup.
Yeah, well, apparently Stark, Cummins and Hayeswood are going to play that, and also the ones in New Zealand as well. So that'll be the last time that Australia will play a T20 series before the World Cup, obviously because the IPL takes up the entire window of March through to almost June now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, something for the eyes.
Mitch Marsh rested. Good on him. Jump out in a boat, celebrate with his brother, have a good time, Insta pics, everyone's happy. More eye hygiene for us online.
Eye hygiene?
Mm-hmm.
Just something for the eyes?
We're just freshening them.
Yeah.
Cucumbers over the eyes. Hyaluronic acid. Let's go. Around the old crow's feet there.
Do you want to talk about Pajero now?
I do. Unbelievable response to this segment. This is Pajero Sports Away Days. We're talking about the adventure of traveling away to various cricket grounds for various reasons. Like we've discussed, they're often trips full of disputes over petrol. Who's taking you? Who's got good wheels? Why does your captain have good wheels? What does he do for a job? Why won't he talk about it? When he turns up in a suit, does he do that as an act? Mm-hmm. Or does he really wear a suit to training? Do you have to contribute to tolls? Gatorade bottles. We've been through this.
These stories, they have to take place in a Pajero sport?
Yes, they do. Every single person who's riding in.
Sorry,
I wasn't clear about this. We've had so many sort of submissions for this, but I have to can the ones that aren't from Pajero Sport.
Yeah.
You know?
I
keep getting one from a divorced couple.
who takes their car fishing. And not themselves fishing, car fishing.
And then occasionally look at the seat and see that the other person's not there.
And then it's actually amazing what the power of the car can do, because then they actually resolve the marriage and the difficulties therein, despite the cheating, which was an allegation, a misunderstanding, and she should never have gone through his phone.
And the father is presented as an oaf.
Obvious.
This is for Pajero
Sport.
And the adventures of away. Of away days, and thank you so much to every submission where this takes place in a Pajero sport, even some places overseas where it may or may not be available.
Especially then.
But thank you to Pajero Sport for getting behind this. Just a little first one off the top. Where the fuck did it go? Have I lost it? This is just a quick one. This is from Alistair. He just says, boys, 10 years ago I was playing twos in the Durham leagues in the UK.
Okay.
Went away to one of the rougher teams we would play against. Got there, the skip came over to ours and asked if we could delay the start because they were missing a player. No problem, sure, he won't be long.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes later, skip comes over again and says we should start. The lad won't be coming because he chopped a bloke's arm off with an axe the night before.
Now that's an away day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know if I've told you this story before, but when I was playing in the UK, I've told you this bit of information before. But one of the teams had Cyclone Mushtaq was playing for their team.
Yes,
and it was actually our home game, so it was their away day. Mm. and they were short a player. And so, no, they weren't. They were short two players.
Right.
So, Cyclone Mushlock came into the dressing room and said, you know, do you mind if we bat first because we're two players short? And we're like, absolutely fucking not. Exactly. But I like the idea of sending in the international player in there just to have the gravitas and like the social capital to be like, oh, okay, Sucky. Do whatever you want.
He was called Sucky, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because Mushy was Mushtaq Ahmed.
That's right.
Right. Whereas Cyclone was Sucky.
Yeah.
And was he bearded up at that time?
Yeah, he was bearded up. Yeah.
I would like to have seen him bearded up during his test career as well, because I just think that would have added to the allure and mystique of the thing. What a bowler
He bowled a Dusra. Like, he was one who invented the Dusra. And I'd obviously never seen it before.
You faced him?
I faced him.
So Cyclone Mushtaq bowled you a Dusra?
Yes. And it was like,
what'd you do?
Well, I got the broom out.
You could actually just a fee if you get there on the full.
You just got to use your feet. Yeah. It was quite easy to play Cyclone Mushtaq, who had like 300 ODI wickets or whatever. But like it was fucking mastery. It was unbelievable.
From you.
Yeah. And how I played in the day.
That's right. The key is not to hit against the spin. You just hit with the spin.
But the only way I could pick it, and I couldn't, but the only way I sort of knew it might be was because of the line he bowled, because he was so good.
You could sort of read him on his lines.
My mistake.
Was it you just a line thing, or is it where he delivers it? It's just little cues you pick up. Is that it? So most people couldn't,
yeah, you're right. That was poor from me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the real contribution this week comes in from someone called Hardik Panda, and it's relevant to. To be fair, that's his or her. I'm going to guess his email address HardikPanda@iCloud.com. Okay. Sorry.
Well, there Bombard. You go. Yeah. Enjoy those emails this week.
He says, "Boys." And this is relevant to what we're just discussing. And this is the Pajero Sport away days. Installment for the week. Your epic retirement recap reminded me of a fateful Saturday in the 90s, a home clash versus the much-talked Willetton team, who were top of the table and had the top run scorer in the league. Of course, there was no frog box or anything of the sort to have seen this enigma, just the whispers amongst the boys. Literally, we were just boys whose voices were breaking and whispering was safer than Sean Marsh, who was playing against us. 'Twas the last summer before year 12 and I'd been given the ultimatum from Dad that I wouldn't be allowed to play next season. Studies were more important, doctor, lawyer or engineer being the only acceptable outcomes. But I was desperate to finish on a high and convince the higher powers that I had a real crack at making it at the next level. I was joint captain with another future test player, but was fast learning that I'd probably end up threes at best given how much more talented this coat was, and apparently Sauce was even better. So the big day was upon us. I'd gone through my usual morning routine of packing last night's Pizza Hut in some foil and getting someone else's dad to drop me to the ground. I was quietly confident with my right arm Adam Dale hooping out swingers, generally causing concern for most 15-year-old right-handers. Got to the ground, now known as Justin Langer Oval. Now, of course, Justin Langer Oval being the same ground last week where somebody's mouth was very dry to the line of cocaine that they'd had.
That's right.
And spotted Sauce warming up with just the one pad on. That's a bit village, I thought to myself. I've got two of those. Shock number one, Sean was left-handed. Oh no, my outswinger. That means inswing to a left-hander. That means runs through square and mid-wicket for days. Shock number two, I looked up at the hill and there were a lot more away spectators than the usual spattering of parents and little siblings that didn't want to but had no choice to be there. Shock number three, I looked a little closer and realised that Swampy effing Marsh was also parked up there. This was it though, my chance to impress in front of the current Australian men's test coach. Maybe I'd rip through them and get fast-tracked into some sort of pathway program.
Yeah, yep.
Maybe I wouldn't have to be buried in books for the foreseeable future. Nervous as I was, I managed to nick off the Willetton opening bat, righty obviously, and outstrode Sean Marsh at number three. Two pads on and a thigh pad. I side-mouthed a little to myself and decided to play my only trick first ball, an in-swinger, straighter one, crossing, to the lefty to catch him unawares. What transpired was the most breathtaking cover drive I'd ever seen. The type that echoes across the ground, which was followed by more echoes from the claps up on the hill from the away supporters. I looked up and realised we were outnumbered 5-1 in terms of spectators, and whatever home ground advantage we had was now null and void. 114 glorious runs later, including a subdued celebration from him when he reached 100. I'd literally never seen any junior turn up before. Anyone else would have been doing cartwheels. And I finally had him caught at gully.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Finally worked him
there
over.
There it is.
Yeah.
He won't remember the innings, nor the amount he scored, but I certainly do. This became my lifelong cricket war story of the day I got Sean Marsh out, score omitted from said story. In truth, though, it ended up being the innings that killed my dreams for good. And although I got through, failed year 12. I was relegated to AstroTurf wheelie bin cricket forevermore. P.S. Pizza tasted good, though. And yes, we used foil early in WA. PPS, what even is a joint captain? A quota-based participation award? I was the only brown kid in the league. Yours, Hardik Panda.
Right, okay.
All right.
Okay. That must have been some treat to watch a young Sean Marsh
go through
his paces.
Absolutely. And not even an away day.
no, but it must have felt like it.
It must have felt like it. Hey, and thank you to Pajero Sport for that latest away day adventure, at least for Sean Marsh and his family and friends.
If you want to send in your away day, Pezza, how do they do
that? Gradecricketer@gmail.com is the best bet.
Thank you to Pajero Sport. The BBL 2023, Pezza.
Now we're talking.
Sydney Sixers have made the final after defeating the Brisbane Heat on the Gold Coast on Friday night. Yep. Ben Duarsis took 5 for 21 to defend Sydney's 152 and then bowl the Heat out for 113.
Yeah.
So Brisbane will play on Adelaide. So they're going to play against Adelaide tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's Monday night on the Gold Coast again at Carrara. After they beat Perth in Perth by 50 runs. So Adelaide made 155 for 7 thanks to Jake Weatherald's 56. And they spun Perth out, Pezza, with Lloyd Pope and Cameron Boyce taking 7 for 44 between them.
It was awesome.
To bowl Perth out for 105.
I watched. I tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, on the Sixers, final at home, Steve O'Keefe's last game. Hard to see teams beating them, but obviously the Heat and the Strikers have players and it's T20 cricket, so things can happen.
Yep.
For that deep analysis. Just in that game, Moses got the job done for the Sixers.
50-something?
People starting to talk about like where he sits in the echelon of the BBL, played in every single season,
okay,
along with like 3 or 4 other blokes,
yep,
and just quietly getting the job done. Probably, you know, bigger lights up there like Chris Lynn, etc. But like in terms of comps, one and stepping up when it counts, Moses again, 11th over, massive, 2 drop catches from the Heat. That's going to hurt him. Dwarsh's 5 for. Jack Edwards took 100 catches, buckets. These are my notes from the game.
Yeah.
Spencer Johnson 2 for 14 or 4 again, stepping up against good opposition. But the Sixers go through, and that combined with the Scorchies getting knocked out is going to leave the Sixers feeling pretty good.
Yep.
Strikers Scorchers game was incredible. An unlikely win for the Strikers with unlikely tactics. So basically, you're an away team. You know, the last to qualify for the finals, they were basically last on the ladder. The Strikers halfway through the season, every game became a final, and you've got to knock over the Scorchers in an eliminator game in like that fucking afternoon heat of Perth at that ground where the ball sounds different off the bat. You know, the entire country of WA is behind them. And they only made 150 with the bat as well. And everyone was saying it's 20-30 under, even whoever was talking for the Strikers on the microphone, who I can't remember, they won by 50 runs.
Yeah.
50-plus runs. Like, the Scorchers just fell away.
That's massive.
Sam Fanning for the Scorchers, who opened the batting from New South Wales, obviously.
Good.
Okay. Opened the batting with Harry. Looked the goods. Everyone else looked cooked. Now, this was the Lloyd Pope and Cameron Boyce show. So you're talking like two leggies have taken down the Scorchies in the furnace, at the furnace, which you're not really expecting. And it was Lloyd Pope's wrongin', which is essentially sex. Now, you'll remember Lloyd Pope's wrongin' from the under-19s World Cup.
To like 7 for something.
With the flowing flame locks that were not long for this world, with respect.
I think it was like in a quarterfinal against England, and he took like 7 for something.
7 for, and nobody could pick the fucker.
Yeah.
And this is what happened again.
Yeah.
They just he finishes with 4 for here, but it's just it's a wrong-and-a-thon. It's unbelievable. So, like, I just wanted to pick up the power of an unpicked wrong-un in cricket.
You should be able to do it just by picking up the line.
There are certain cues that good players,
good players,
such as yourself,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So get in touch. with the scorches, mate. But just the sheer humiliation of the thing at that level. Yeah. Like, you don't really, especially awesome. In Australia with spin.
It's a nutmeg.
You don't see, exactly. You don't see blokes fooled.
No.
Very often with spin.
Now, fool me once. Can't get fooled again.
There's an all scene in
Texas, Tennessee.
In Tennessee, or Texas, probably Tennessee. you know, like, this is the power of the, like, unpickable wrong. And, like, with that, you can transcend any social and physical disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Height, salad,
yeah.
peace.
Yeah.
By deceiving someone in the air or off the pitch yeah. in Australia. In one go, you could have 25 years of disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can bowl a wrong'un that some big alpha guy can't pick,
yeah.
that's massive. Like, you fool them into misguided body contortions, you know, resulting in a misjudgment that can only be experienced as embarrassment by that person. Now, these are boys and men who have been thoroughly and aggressively socialized into both conforming to and policing narrow notions of what is normal, which is underpinned by never making a mistake or being caught looking off or wrong.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Looking weak.
Yeah. Looking weak and fooled.
Yeah.
And misguided and misjudged, deceived, you know? And those people punish others that do that. So when you get punished, whether in the nets or in a game, you're fooled by Lloyd Pope's out of the fingers wronging, you know? These guys can have their worlds ripped apart by the fiercely spinning Bosie. And I just wanted to shout that out to Lloyd Pope.
It's essentially being reduced to a child again, having your pants pulled down,
put
over your father's knee and being spanked in front of friends and family.
Indeed.
At your 21st birthday.
Yep. That's right. And you could live for 21 years getting every single decision right.
Getting everything right.
That's right. I do well at school. Mm-hmm. I'm into the gym early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, father's got me into the right clubs and teams.
Mm-hmm.
I know the right put downs for people. I speak with the right octave voice. You know, I've grown hair at the correct time. My family has actually bred itself wealthy. You know, we stay in narrow circles and we don't make any mistake. We wear the right clothes. Yeah. It's narrow.
It's narrow.
It's correct. Anyone who's outside of those lines are fucking punished accordingly.
Open to ridicule.
And ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
Our hair is, we have a very high forehead, to be fair, because it's just a testosterone thing. But we have holiday houses. You know?
At the right places.
That's right. I have my parties at the right places. I tuck my shirt in my 21st. Like,
I drink the right type of beers.
Indeed.
The right amount of beers. The drugs I choose to take are the right kind of drugs.
Yes. I take the right photos on social media in the right places.
Yeah.
And just in one go, a Lloyd Pope wrong'un can contort your body into sheer humiliation. Never to return. To do that to an Australian alpha male is... I'm just saying it's a sociological phenomenon.
It's what happens to Napoleon.
So that's shouting out the BBL. Tonight it's the Strikers and the Heat on the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Now, on to the complaints about the competition.
Yeah. Here's why this sucks.
All I want to say is, firstly I'll start with a caveat. Again, and I know this is possibly the view of administrators of within cricket who, like year after year, have grown a competition in terms of its value, its TV rights, its crowds, right? They're pretty good metrics for things that are going well. Their view may be that, limp-wristed, cucky little cricket commentariat people, such as ourselves and whatever, are unfair on the BBL. And when you look at the metrics... around people going, crowds being up, shorter competition, things going well. So I want to just issue that as a caveat first up. All I want to say, though, that just gets me down is that in, like, any team that reaches the final of any competition that sees their own team shorn of its best players because they have chosen to play in another competition, is any person following those teams is entitled to be disappointed. Now, there's a complex landscape that leads to that happening. But if I'm a fan that's not really my problem. And particularly when you are presenting a competition as a wealthy nation within cricket, I think fans are entitled to expect that the players who have been their best players, namely overseas players, are around for the finals. And I know that a lot of these players are saying the same thing, but ultimately that it's money and food on the table. So just none of the teams in the finals can field their best 11s, right? With the Scorchers, for example, Ashton Turner got injured. That's a he's a homegrown player. Yep. But Laurie Evans is their gun.
Yep.
Can't play, ILT 20. Adelaide, no Chris Lynn. ILT 20, no Jamie Overton, who's basically their best player this year, Gulf Giants, no Adam Hose, Desert Vipers. Scorchers lost Laurie Evans, as said. Sixers lost James Vince, who's been one of their best players the last couple of years, Gulf Giants, Tom Curran, Desert Vipers. Heat lost Colin Munro, their captain, and Sam Billings, again, to the ILT 20. It's just hurts, you know, like, and there are no solutions being offered here other than, like, BBL would love the best players available to play from Australia and overseas. Can that be eked out? What pain, what sacrifices need to happen? What pain needs to be gone through? Anyone who's keen to learn more about that, really great piece from Matt Roller on Crick Info, getting into the weeds a little bit around the increase in the BBL salary cap, but that it still can't compete with the ILT 20 in terms of the size of the salary cap. But not just that, the length of the tournament. So ILT 20 done in 4 weeks. Laurie Evans goes on in this piece to say that there was still a lot of time lost in the BBL this year. They think they can crunch it even more. That's generally the view of the players, and that the ILT 20 gets their contract signed earlier than the BBL due to the BBL's draft, I believe. Please look at the piece.
Also security for those players as well, because often the BBL contract is 1 year.
Exactly. And I think Billings made that point on Twitter as well. You know, there's no guarantee in the draft that you're going to get picked up either. So you want to get that security of being signed up. That's some X's and O's nuanced stuff. You fly at 50,000 feet and there are other questions that come into play. But again, just goes to show, I think, the competition from both sides on the Australian summer, with footy on one side and then these other franchise tournaments with better security and more money, are serving to undermine the opportunity for the BBL to have its best players available at the end of the year. So we're not even talking about like access to the best overseas players. We're talking about overseas players who've been part of the competition for a long period of time that then those fans lose when they need the most. I appreciate the complexity for BBL organisers. It's not to say that they haven't thought of these things, but just goes to show how much pressure is being exerted from franchise tournaments overseas, you know, and that players are going to follow the secure and quantity of money. And I think it's upon the BBL to fix that. Well, maybe not.
On top of that, look at like Brisbane Heat have had a fantastic year. Only lost, well, they lost two games now for the year, but they, before the finals, they'd only lost one game. Incredible record at the Gabba. People were getting behind there in Brisbane as well. And they get to the finals and they're playing these two knockout games, must win games for them on the Gold Coast because the test match is being played at the Gabba. So the test match needs like a full week or something beforehand before the test match starts. Now, the test match is against a significantly diminished test side that really has. It's very, very difficult for these test nations to see how it turns around again. Yeah, there's some ideas about like, you know, sharing money and, you know, communal wealth, generally speaking. But like, yeah, I don't really see how that happens. It's almost like, what's the point? Plus, on top of that, you got 13 guys in the Australian setup who surely like just must be playing. They must be playing the Big Bash. But it's hard. It's hard to figure like the right solution out. In the meantime, other domestic competitions around the world, they're just pushing their window, encroaching into the Big Bash. And they've now got Indian IPL ownership money. They're going to offer more money for a shorter playing time, i.e. the SA20 and the ILT20. So if I'm a player, it's like
more money, less work.
Right.
And on top of that, as like Laurie Evans points out in Matt Roller's excellent piece, the teams he plays for have the opportunity, if he plays well in each of these leagues, to continue on to other tournaments owned by those franchises. So for Laurie, for example, he could get a contract in the US with Los Angeles, Caribbean with Trinbago, even in India, Kolkata down the line. There's no equivalent with the Scorchers. I've noticed that the rhetoric from Cricket Australia, and another shout out to our mates, The Final Word, who interviewed Nick Hockley recently. Cricket Australia's rhetoric, or at least Hockley's, is that these are less questions about money and more a question about scheduling. You know, if you can find some scheduling intelligence, he's not talking about four-day tests necessarily, but if you can kind of find the right way to get all of this in, then maybe everybody can be happy. And Nick Hockley knows way more about the X's and O's of this than we do. But it just occurs to me that, like, if we cram the Australian summer even more to make everybody happy, won't these leagues just expand further? Mm. You know, these franchises will keep expanding so long as they can offer more money and more security. It's just so difficult to see with the monopolization of the schedule with these, many of them privateers who just have steam train level cash compared to the bicycle, you know, that Australia is offering at the moment, that they won't continue to encroach. That Australia's summer will shrink.
We're getting caught behind, yeah.
And a four-day test, that's well and good. That might open a few opportunities for other countries to play and then creating more time. But won't the domestic tournaments as a capitalist monopolistic reflex continue to expand unless some kind of regulation is enforced on when there are club windows and when there are international windows that are irrefutable? You know, will that not just spawn further, like, unofficial tournaments or something?
Four-day tests won't solve the problem that, like, these T20 franchises, how much money they make their national boards. That won't change.
And these T20 franchises, it's got to be clear, they're not run by the BCCI. Like, the IPL is a 50-50 between the franchises and the BCCI. So the franchises, people who own these franchises, these privateers, they don't have any, policy or principle-driven responsibility or obligation to the good of the game or formats. You know, their like operating principle would be bottom line P&L for their countries and in increasing the value of their investment. You know, if that means climbing into to test cricket's time, which they're already shown they're prepared to do, they'll continue to do it, right?
The next two summers in Australia are big summers in terms of 10 tests against India and England. And then we're going to bury our heads in the sand again, being like, yeah, see, this is good. This is really good and important. But the reality is these summers that we're having right now, that's a reality for most people in world cricket. After the Ashes in 2025, I guess it must be, that summer after that, it's three tests against New Zealand, three tests against South Africa. No, like, what kind of state South Africa is going to be in? I mean, maybe they have a full strength team because they'll be playing it in the window that's not the SA20, perhaps. But it's still, I just can't get my head around how Australia cannot have one of the best T20 competitions when clearly that is the future of the game. I mean, the BBL must rank, with all due respect to the clubs and the people involved in it, now can be disrespectful because I've said with all due respect, it must be about the seventh or eighth best in the world. I mean, like, it's not even close to the IPL. You're not going to be able to compete with that because of the money, and also the Indian players aren't allowed to play overseas. The PSL is so much stronger. I'm looking at the SA20. SA20, the teams have 9 internationals in each side. You know, like, it's the Australians don't have that. I mean, Adelaide, for instance, have 2 or 3.
And people will say it's still growing. They're still doing a great job with
it's not bad.
It just could be better.
Right.
Yeah, it's so funny, you know, like the test cricket question, the future of test cricket question, it's less a question about Australia, which has like a deep, the audience for test cricket is runs pretty deep in Australia and it's connected to our culture. I think it will be okay here. The test cricket question is about getting other nations who are disincentivized from playing. They can't afford playing. The players are disincentivized from playing, to get them up and about, to use the Aussie rules parlance, and in and around, so that, you know, there's great quality test cricket happening around the world. You see the potential, you know, what you miss out on when South Africa and India play two tests, you know what I mean? Like, get these guys playing. It's awesome. But on the home front, the question is, like, is it possible to have a fully fledged, excellent test summer and a fully fledged BBL competition where all of our players can play? You know, why can't we do that? And again, it comes back to the secret of the actual length of the Australian summer in terms of the audience's interest in it. Otherwise, you would be able to do both. England manages both. You know, every other country does. why not Australia? Mm. You know, it's a that is a big challenge, I think, for the administrators. But it's still worth saying the BBL is going well, you know, for what it is. It just it's got to keep up, and I think Australian fans are, you know, are entitled to expect something close to the best.
Pez, if you want to watch every single domestic franchise league around the world, but you don't have access to those stations that are broadcasting it, then what you're going to need is a NordVPN. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country that is showing that domestic franchise competition, so you can watch every single ball and don't miss out on the action live. Here is the link that you need to know, nordvpn.com/TGC. You can grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to the custom URL, that is nordvpn.com/TGC. There's also a link in the episode show notes. You also get a discount, a huge discount indeed, a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/TGC. If that's what you want to do. Pezza.
Just quickly, before we get into the next thing, yeah. just are you interested? Reports this morning from Bredig, yep. That the ACT are keen on having a first class and big bash team, and maybe the Northern Territory as well. Does it interest you? Canberra Comets gear?
I like the idea of a Canberra Comets side. Yeah, sure. But
Only
for trappings, yeah.
Yeah, novelty.
In terms of, once again, our country's not big enough. There's just not enough people here. I like the idea of having a representative in the ACT or the NT. Big time into that. See you in the NT stuff.
Territory would be hot shit.
It would be fucking hot shit. I mean, you've obviously spent time there. You live there.
It's
awesome. But in terms of it actually working and being sustainable, why do I think that's not going to happen? Because there's not enough people that live here. And so you're trying to get a huge share of the population there to go to the cricket consistently. Is that wrong and dumb?
Oh, I'm not going to sit on the couch with a monocle chin stroking like Roden's thinker telling you why it actually what you need to understand about the economics of getting a slice of the pie.
Just the line it was coming out, you could tell it was going to spin the other way.
The thing is, he leaves cover open, and that's actually an opportunity for me because I'm actually set up to.
I could just open the face. You know how Ian Bell used to do it.
It's a little trick. Agassi had that with Boris Becker with his serve, and I just had the same thing with Sucky when he came in. It was just a little bit wider than crease. It was a little cue he gave away. Anyway.
Give him to Sucky, which is what we drank afterwards.
Indeed, and other things like called Sucky. But I don't know whether it's economically viable. I wonder why any team would want to play first-class cricket. Oh, wow, it's cynical. I think it's always a good sign that there are people who are keen to get involved.
That would
represent some kind of health of the game. But then again, you probably just have states going, yeah, but if we divide the pie further, I get less pie and I'm hungry. Yeah. Huh? Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to see if you're interested.
We're going to talk about India and the England Test Series. Mm. But just before then, the third T20 India and Afghanistan was a belter. So India batted first and made 212. India won the first two games, by the way, so this was a dead rubber in that sense. The third of the three T20s, India batted first, made 212. Rohit Sharma, after having scored two ducks in the first two games, he scored his highest ever T20I score of 121 of 69. India were also like 4 for 20 in this game, but they made 212. Afghanistan's top three all made 50, so they needed 31 off 10, Afghanistan. Then they needed 19 off the last. Then they ran two on the last ball to take it into a super over. So being like 31 off 10 and managed to tie it up, good effort. First super over, Afghanistan made 16. The last ball was a play and miss from Nabi. Sandru Sampson was playing. He was wicket-keeping. He underarms the stumps. Right. And the ball hits Nabi's leg as he's completing the run at the bowler's end. The ball hits his leg and it deflects past the bowler, who I think it was Mukesh, down to Kohli at long on.
Yeah.
And they end up running three.
Yeah.
And Kohli's like standing there like, what the fuck? Like the ball's just hit you. You can't run it, deflected.
No, Virat's wrong.
Play on.
He wants the rights of a run out if it doesn't hit his leg, but he doesn't want the obligations of if it hits his leg and goes off. Did the batter deviate to get in the way?
No.
Right. So batter's not done anything wrong. Play on.
So Afghanistan run three byes. Now, so then India needed 17 to win. They were on.
Can I just quickly, I realize you're going through this.
That's right.
Just to clarify on that, I think if the batters run past the stumps, and so the right of getting a run out is clearly not on anymore,
yeah.
and then it deflects, that's when you don't run yeah. in that situation. But if you're going for a run and someone is trying to run you out, so they're trying to gain from them throwing at the stumps, if it happens to hit you, if the throw is off or whatever, then yeah. you can go.
Yeah.
I think if you run past and like basically the thing everyone was attempting is over, then it's the etiquette is not to go.
Yeah, I see your point. I always understood it to be like it hit you in any capacity. Like yeah. like the Stokes one, for instance, in the World Cup final where he basically middled it for four. Like that was in the process. Like had they not gone for four, they wouldn't have run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway, so so Jaiswal was batting with Rohit. They needed two off the last ball. Swing and a miss. They run a bye with Rohit and the scores are level. So it goes into a second super over. This time India is batting first. They lose two wickets with like one or two balls left. So Afghanistan just needed 12 to win. And then Ravi Bishnoi, leg spinner, bowls the super over. He takes a wicket first ball and a wicket on the third ball. So two wickets obviously in a super over means the end of the super over innings. And so India end up winning by like 11 or 10 runs. But yeah, crazy. They won by plenty.
Comfortable.
Exactly. So crazy game with so much happening at the end. That was in was at Bangalore, I think. India win that series 3-0. That's actually the last series they play until the World Cup. But, of course, the IPL goes for so long. But let's talk about the India-England Test Series, Pezza, starting on Thursday, same time as the second Test match at the Gabba there with Australia and the West Indies. The first Test is in Hyderabad on Thursday. India have lost three games in the last 11 years playing at home. 11 of the bit years even. They've won 16 home series in a row. That's a record. Australia have won 10 home series in a row twice in like 94 to 2000, then like 2004 to 2008. So two separate times they won 10, but India's won 16 in a row. I think it might actually be the hardest place in any sport to go and win at the moment. Other sports probably a little bit more even in terms of home and away, like football, for instance, like, you know, results do happen. But
interesting.
But it'd be up there. It would be up there in the conversation that normal people have.
Yes.
As like the hardest place to go and win. It's going to be a red hot series. But like, I mean, Ashwin and Jadeja, especially at home, like just two of the best ever. Harry Brook is obviously out of the tour. Dan Lawrence is his replacement. An ECB statement said, Harry Brook is set to return home with immediate effect for personal reasons from the England's men's test tour of India. The Brook family respectfully request privacy during this time. In light of this, the ECB and the family kindly request the media and the public to respect their wish for privacy and refrain from intruding on their private space. First and foremost, there with Harry Brook, like whatever's happened, it's sounds awful and just hope that he and his family are okay. But that's obviously a big loss for England, for the England playing side, like because he would have been a mainstay of the side. He's averaging 60 after 10 or 12 tests or something. 400.
It's very sad not to be seeing him.
He was fantastic in Pakistan as well. Was in different conditions, of course, but in terms of doing it away as well, I mean, he's been awesome.
Man, I'm like legitimately excited for the series. I know we've mentioned it a few times. We're doing a proper preview here, right? Like, where do you want to start with it? Like, can I sort of set it up a little bit?
Sure.
Because we're talking five tests here. This is going for a long time. It's an 8-week tour for the England guys who've just had 10 days in Abu Dhabi, in their words, acclimatizing.
Yeah. First of 17 tests for England this year.
Like, to me, this is like, again, like Bazball comes to the fore and whatever, like, what are we going to see? But firstly, with India, like for me, the way I see it, and I can't wait for it, we're going to cover this every, we're doing every day of the series, dailies, right?
Yeah.
Dailies. And they're going to be straight out, end of day's play, we've got them out.
Yeah.
India to some extent are like, I'm not saying they're on the canvas as a team or as a like cricketing country at the moment, but they're resetting again. Like the hunger of the experienced players to set things right for what Indian cricket is must be ravenous.
Post World Cup, you mean?
Post World Cup
right.
defeat, and now in England, like they have the perfect enemy to destroy and re-announce to the world their superiority. And they're going to be doing so, if they manage to do that in these five tests, they'll be doing it in the backdrop of inevitable complaints about conditions, which will make the series so much sweeter for them.
Yeah.
And TGC will be sitting back with popcorn.
Mm-hmm. What's Cloudison going to say about this?
Exactly. Like, but it's so beautifully set up too, in that England have the chance in one go to reestablish the brilliance of the revolutionary zeal of baseball. Like, could there be any better place to prove its excellence, you know, with India away being the most difficult place to win? You know, you could, like, they had their stats around losing one game in 17 or some shit like that. Then they had the 2-2 against Australia, lost a game against New Zealand as well. But, like, forgetting the World Test Championship, if that's even possible, like, If England could go to India with this completely different style of cricket and smash and grab it and win, right, just discombobulate India with the way that they play, they would go into a conversation about being the best team in the world. Like, you can supersede any of the formal ways of finding out who's number one if you beat India away, right? And you know that, like I'm so looking forward to seeing baseball in this respect, because – what's the point of trying to challenge India with conventional cricket over there?
Yeah.
Like, we see what happens with it because they're so good and the way the whole thing sets up. So I like the idea that England will go over, and you know that with McCullum and Stokes, they will be attacking it with like deep aspiration and romance and hedonism, that this way of playing cricket can overcome the toughest battle that or contest that you can get in the world. So, like, any of the chat about baseball, like, they have the chance to become heroes, basically, if they get it done. Now, if they get done, if they get done, like, a dinner in 10 days, 5-0, it all becomes a bit huff and puff, doesn't it? It's like anything, you know, or the stakes are high. What about, you know, the stakes for Rohit and Kohli in this?
Well, where, especially Rohit,
you know, a lot of international teams are getting old, right? It's not just Australia. Yeah, yeah. But, like, off the back of the World Cup, you know, these guys all want to just show where they actually stand. Well, you know, in world cricket, I just think the stakes are high for those guys. I think Stokes' captaincy, the way he kind of instructs people on the field and the tactics he pursues and strategies he pursues always makes it interesting. You know, so he's going to be wanting to make things happen the whole time. I saw that Monty Panesar has called for a sledge-a-thon, saying that Stokes should get into the minds of India as chokers, given what happened with the World Cup, saying things like, look what happened at the World Cup. You choked. We didn't. We won ours.
It's
very simple. And that's delectable for a neutral.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, there's a lot to look forward to with the series.
A lot of pressure on these blokes now. Talking about Rohit Sharma there, who obviously was at the helm losing the World Cup. He has been demoted from captain from his MI team as well. Now, if he was to lose a home series to break this drought against England of all nations, and then in the manner that it would happen, which I can't see it happening, but if it did, it's like that would be a couple of serious notches against Rohit Sharma, who himself doesn't, like, he's an incredible player, record amazing, etc., whatever. But then on top of that, I just think about, like, Jadeja. Jadeja especially. Ashwin is, like, just wonderfully, supremely skilled bowler, of course. But Jadeja, when you watch him bowl, he just pins you. He pins you at the crease. He never leaves the stumps.
Angles.
Yeah. Now, I actually saw a masterclass from an Australian guy in an SEN studio one time in front of a bin, just making a few wiser decisions. So, you know, I'm not sure if England looked at that just yet. But
yeah, that's true. They got some resources.
So, you know, just Jadeja, like, he never leaves the stumps, pads, stumps involved all the time, inside half of the bat, outside half of the bat. It's just relentless. Now, Australia pushed them close, as close as they've been pushed for a long time, India, in the series last year when they had Murphy and Koonman, and obviously Nathan Lyon as well. And, you know, Australia would probably say, had it not been for the second test in Delhi, where they had India like 7 for 120 or something, and then Akshar Patel comes in. And that's kind of the thing with India. Like, it's not just Ashwin, Jadeja and Akshar's bowling that is like so relentless. It's their lower order runs, which almost wins them the game more than the bowling. Like, you see Kohli's diminishing returns in test cricket. It's because you have to play on these pitches that they're playing. They're suiting specifically for these three players at home. Kuldeep Yadav is also in the squad. Four spinners in the squad. through the chest, I would have thought. You know, this is what
Bumrah. Poor Bumrah.
He'd be averaging 17 if they. You know, this is the challenge against India. Like, it's the lower order runs and the relentless bowling of these spinners. Like, you mean three guys are just about beating 11 guys every single time. So, look, if England could do anything here, you know, I think for the most part, when Australia took a test match off India there, I was like, that's a fucking good result. It's a good tour. And they pushed them close in some other games.
Couple of things. Can we talk decks? What sort of pitches we're going to get?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've really, really scratched my head as to what sort of decks they'll be. But you think that, like, England love a flat deck, right?
That's what they want.
That's what they want. Yeah. They had that in Pakistan. It's essentially how they geared it up in the Ashes as well, so they can score faster than you and spend more time applying pressure on you, right? Fair to say, unless India's ahead in the series and have an unassailable lead, we're not going to see flat decks.
Right.
By the same token, I feel the only way India can invite England into the series and to take 20 wickets with a very inexperienced spin attack bar Jack Leach would be to create that indoor style lottery deck.
Shit tip it.
They go too far with the shit tip.
Yeah.
Right. So on a scale of like zero Ahmedabad flat decks through to 10 indoor.
Yeah.
If India can just cook those decks or around 6 or 7, they're good to go. Batters are too good on those decks compared to England's.
Yes.
Bowlers can take 20 wickets. So give it 6 or 7 out of 10 on the deck front vis-a-vis spinning. India's good to go. That's just a shout out to the BCCI.
Yeah.
I want to talk both teams. Like, so there are some selection issues for both.
Yeah.
Right. So start with India.
Sure.
Question over who's going to wicket keep.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't have my book on me, but I was writing that.
KS Barrett, KL Rahul, and Jurel.
That's right. Now,
Jurel won't play. He's uncapped. He played like finisher role for Rajasthan.
Yeah.
15 first class matches ish.
So if we're filling up the sides, right?
Yeah.
If you can follow me here, like Rohit 1, let's leave 2 and 3 out. Kohli will play 4. And then you're looking at, do you accept this? Jadeja 6, Akshar 7, Ashwin 8. I'm missing someone.
You're looking at like Siraj and Bumrah?
Siraj 9, Bumrah 10. So I'm missing someone. So would it be Jadeja 7 then?
No. He comes as 6. If you have Jadeja 6,
yeah.
Akshar 7, you're missing one, yeah. Yeah.
It might actually be Jadeja 7.
7, yeah.
And then you go down to 11 three there. Spinners, so, yeah. So you're playing those bowlers, yeah. Jadeja, Akshar, Ashwin, and then you're playing Siraj and Bumrah.
Yeah, probably.
5.
Yes, yes.
So then you got, so that's 7. So then you got 6 to play, right? 6
yes,
bats now.
Yes, yes. Rohit's 1. Yep.
Yeah, Rohit's 1. Kohli's 4.
4, yeah.
Right? And then you go, KL Rahul scored one of the best hundreds against South Africa in their losing test.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Pretty hard for him to miss out.
Yes.
But you also want to fit in. Do you wicket keep with him? He doesn't really wicket keep at home against those three spinning cobra decks.
For the Australian series, it was KS Barrett.
He was fine.
Right. He scored some runs.
So if you play KL Rahul and KS Barrett, you've got two spots there, and you're looking at Gill, Iyer, Jaiswal. Who's missing out there?
Probably Shreyas.
Yeah.
I think probably Shreyas, yeah. Yeah.
So
Shubman's 3.
Yeah.
Jaiswal's opening with Rohit.
Yeah. I feel like I'm missing someone there as well. Anyway, does Shreyas Iyer miss out? That's a really good question. If you play Akshar Patel. And then from England's perspective, the loss of Harry Brook, at least for the start of the two-up, makes it a little bit easier because there was going to be a question about, again, that Ben Foulkes and Johnny Bairstow thing.
Yep.
You know, like Ben Foulkes, so good with the gloves, particularly over in Asia, did so well when he was last there. Now with Brook out, you can probably play Bairstow as an out-and-out bat, get Foulkes in there as well, and play Ollie Pope. There was a question about whether Ollie Pope misses out, even though he's a vice-captain, if an injury happens to Stokes. Is your captain 12th man.
Yeah, I mean, so England's bowlers in their squad, Anderson, Robinson, Wood, Leach, most people would know them. Also Riyad Ahmed, who is likely going to play. Gus Atkinson, we've seen a little bit of him before. Tom Hartley, he's a left-arm ortho. Mm. Shoa Bashir, he's an offie. He's the one with just 6 first-class matches. So those are the bowling options for England. So you imagine Anderson and Wood.
And those guys won't play all 5 tests.
And then you've got Riyan Ahmed and Leach. There's 4 bowlers. Joe Root's going to do some work as well. There's 5 bowlers there. So maybe we've actually already got 3 spinners if Root bowls enough overs. Riyan Ahmed and Jack Leach. Three different options there.
I mean, are you playing a wrist spinner? You know, like does any wrist spinner play? You know?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting one in terms of them not selecting Liam Dawson, who took 49 wickets at 20 in the county championship. He had indicated late last year that if he was selected for this squad, that it might not be an easy decision because he's obviously got a lucrative SA20 contract. He wasn't selected in the end, but they've picked Shoaib Bashir, this offie, with 6 first-class matches. And they like him because he's tall. He's 6'4".
Well, so, I mean, you know, when Australia went to the series with to the Border Gavaskar Trophy last February, you know, we had Todd Murphy and Matthew Kuhneman as well. Mm-hmm. We knew very little about either, really. Todd Murphy had been playing in Darwin, you know, 6 months before.
Yeah.
So probably of like higher pedigree, but easy to say now because they both went well, you know. Mm. Like England will be hoping that India over shit tips the decks to bring them into it and for those guys to introduce a little bit of lottery where England might be able to, you know. I know I agree with what you say about Jadeja pinning you and the spinners, you know, against spinners probably preying on a mistake from bass ball eventually. But if you shit tip it and you break that ball through the surface early, you can invite the other team in if you get the toss going your way and a little session. So it comes down to the deck.
I can't see a lot of day fours, Pezza, the way both teams are going to play.
I'm easy to say now as unusual, but I'm very interested to see if there's another style of play that can unsettle the Indian team, you know, which can be, Monty put it very crassly, really. And I wouldn't be sledging guys like Virat personally, but they can be found wanting under pressure. At the end of the day, I think India takes 20 wickets way more easily than England does. Mm. But I'm just curious to see from a cricketing perspective what, you know, Stokes and McCollum can come up with creatively to see if they can, the way the game already speeds up in games in India is unbelievable. And then to add the England style to it as well, I just think it's going to be extremely interesting to watch. It could be some pretty funny shit that happens.
People might remember that for the Australia series, 4 test series, Cummins left after the Delhi test match, which was the second test match, and then Steve Smith took over as captain at the indoor test match, and then Ahmedabad, which was just a road and batted that for a draw. But in that third test match, when it was ridiculous how bad that wicket was. Steve Smith was captain and people were praising Steve Smith's captaincy, saying, well, he should be the captain. Now, I remember thinking at the time, like, it's really not that hard to captain when a wicket's falling every 8 balls, you know? But so my point being, Stokes has been remarkable since he's taken over as captain, and the fields he set especially have been, he has created so many chances for his bowlers, I think, with these field settings and just mixing the game up all the time. So you almost don't need to overcomplicate things when the game is moving along so quickly anyway. I wonder if there's a chance, if he has some patience in him, to be like, there's like a chance is going to come. He don't need to overcomplicate it, I suppose. But we're just guessing because, overall, this is going to be it's a tantalizing series. I mean, just the way that England bat, especially.
Just what England will bring. Yeah. You know, I think it could be interesting and just again seeing where India is at as a test team. It feels like they're close to some kind of rejuvenation and renewal. But it's not, like that said, if ever the nation has probably craved a dominant restorative test win, you know, series win at home, it would be now. Mm. And so, you know, I look forward to seeing, because we're not involved, you know, some classic Indian test cricket with like really high quality spin on conducive decks, the associated complaints from there, and England throwing something, you know, alternative and different at it and seeing what happens.
That last thing is exactly the thing I'm looking forward to the most. Like what if they just took down Ashwin, you know, if that's even possible. I just don't see how you do it to Jadeja, but
that's possible. Yeah.
But if they were able to do that, just knock off the rhythm, you know. Akshar Patel barely played a role in the series, albeit a year ago. You know,
he did it with the bat.
Yeah, to your point. Yeah, true. I mean, is it possible? I guess we'll find out. What do they know? Do they know things? Let's find out. All right. We are reviewing.
One more thing. Don't forget, it was two things actually, just in terms of the difficulty of facing Indian spin. This is a quote from Ben Duckett. The more it spins, my bat is going to be extremely horizontal. I think to myself now that I've got over 10 sweep shots on both sides of the wicket. So, you know, they will have plans. And also don't forget that Ollie Robinson has a podcast with his cheese and kisses. And also... also filmed himself with her, Mia Baker, presenter and golf influencer, at the Nets, filmed themselves and him in full England kit. So, you know, something to think about there, because that's...
It's going to be a good series.
It's going to be a good series.
I've got 10 different kinds of sweep shots and I quite like sledging people, were some quotes recently.
I just love to put my England kit on and go down with my girlfriend to the Nets, set up a camera and teach her how to bowl on camera, then publish it.
We all like different things.
We all like different things.
Yeah.
I don't mean to thing shame.
Are you thing shaming there, Pezza? All right, Pezza, hashtag AskTGC, and that is brought to you by Ponting Wines. You can use the code GETAFEW for 20% off at pontingwines.com.au. Pezza, my laptop has died, so that's something for...
I can help with that.
Yeah.
Well, this is from someone called How Are You, Slug? Boys, help! Got a major conundrum. The missus just asked if we could go to a Big Bash game. To make things worse, she said she wants to put a bucket on her head. My response was there isn't another game within the state for the rest of the season, so I'm hoping she forgets by the time next year comes round. I guess I'm to blame here, trying to take full advantage of the blobby summer and calling our dog after one of our greatest T20 players, Adam Zampa. To give you some background, my partner is currently 21 weeks pregnant. I've purposely left the cock stuff out of this message. Just know the old slug works.
Well done.
And he's currently on holidays as a school teacher. She was not very pleased when I came home blind after day three of the Sydney test and has asked that I support her in giving up drinking until the end of the pregnancy. The options I see are as follows. One, call the AFP. This is flaunt with danger, given the replica baggy green and hard drives I own. Two, buy tickets to a game next year, get a bucket on the bounce, and start yelling, "Eo!" at random times. This could start a family ritual and assist my child in getting into the sport. Three, continue to glaze over the fact she has asked this question and hope she doesn't bring it up again. Four, take her out to anywhere other than the cricket because she is obviously trying to set up some time outside the house. Five, start using grotesque phrases around the house like, "Have you been getting any puss lately?" How many fucking tests have you played and KFC finger bash league me pigeon? What? Pretending I don't understand that. Doing this in the hope she has questions our relationship, where I will then tell her it's cricket that has made me speak this way and she'll be warned off from this evil pastime for life. Any other options are welcome. Cheers.
How are you, slug?
How are you, slug?
Great question. And look, I think that last sentence where it's like, yeah, cricket's made me speak this way. I mean, that's the central tenet or the theme of this show. Like, why has cricket done this to our brains? You know, we can have conversations about who's in and who's out, who's hot, who's not. But really, it's an information exchange about why has cricket fried our brains forever, irreparably, in this way. So there's that. You know, I generally welcome the idea that his partner has asked to join in the sobriety before they have their child. That's a nice idea. You can enjoy the sights and sounds of life. Hear birds sing in the morning. Go for a swim.
Not for me. Carry on.
And she also wants to go to a cricket game because you like a thing that she doesn't like and she wants to know what you're doing.
Well, it sounds to like she's been... What? Like, he's had it on the blobby summer and she's asked to go. She wants to put a bucket on her head.
So maybe he hasn't been going.
Yeah, she's been watching. She's been watching. And she's like, what's this? And we called our dog after the great T20 player, so the World Cup's gone. Yeah. Adam Zampa. Little drive by on Zorb there.
Yeah. So I think the best way to solve that is to take it to the game.
Yeah, like and realize, just exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, you asked for it.
Yeah.
When I was a child, became jealous that my elder sister had Barbies, so I asked for a Barbie doll, yeah. And my parents followed through with it, and I experienced having one, and I didn't like it, you know. But I had to go through that experience to learn, and perhaps it's the same here.
Do you think how are your sluggers? What he's really worried about is if he takes the old miso soup to a game of cricket, and she really likes it, and then it's like, oh, now this is your thing as well. Some things I just want for me.
Interesting.
You know?
I think he's more worried.
Why can't I have my thing?
I think he's worried that she's watched ostensibly a family pitched entertainment package on TV of like a presentation of cricket geared towards families, buckets on bouncers, a dog named after your favourite player.
A welcoming environment.
Yeah, we're all, you know, getting into sobriety now because you must feel how I feel.
Yeah.
It's an eternal reminder of the guilt of pregnancy. I think that's a warning sign for me personally. But what he's worried about is that he knows the truth of what the game is, and that the deeper they go into the game, the more she's going to realise the debauchery.
That she's with the wrong person.
Oh yeah, and he's gonna uncover layer after layer,
yeah.
like peeling an onion,
mm-hmm.
of things he does not want to divulge.
Why are you calling me a pigeon?
Exactly. Why are you calling the Australian Federal Police? You know,
just because I put a bucket on my head.
Yeah,
but my experience, perhaps yours the same, is that like going to a test match versus going to a big bash game, completely different crowds.
Yeah.
A test match crowd is complete debauchery, drunkenness, sitting in the sun for 8 hours. By the end of the day's play, you're trying to make a massive beer snake.
In most sections, yeah.
And you're laughing along and you're having the time of your life, but you know you're being stupid. You know you're being a stupid little boy. But when you go to a big bash game, it's like, oh, like it's bright lights and it's sounds and it's songs and it's fireworks and it's bash, crash bang.
Yeah.
And crush Craddock.
Do you think all test crowds are like that? I mean, what about, there's other sections of crowds that basically look like scorers and volunteers on days off. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not beer snake guys, but they are people that you sort of go, what's your life like? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why do you have a subscription to mannequins.com?
Yeah, his polo says mannequin.com. What is that? What's that? I thought that guy was doing a crossword. What's he doing? No, Dale, that's a scorecard. What? He likes to score the game, but it's on the scoreboard. No, he does it himself. He has a whole pencil case of coloured pencils and highlighters.
He watches the umpire touch his leg, indicating that it's been leg by to know which individual marker to put into which box.
Yeah. Why does that man keep making like an upside down peace sign on his trousers when there's two balls to go? He's not even an umpire. Just
why is he wearing a skivvy in the middle of summer?
He's one of those ear trimmers. His hair's just popping out of the old. Yeah.
Thanks as always to pontingwines.com. Use the code get a few for 20% off your order at pontingwines.com.au. Is that what it is? Yeah, that's right. I've only said it so many times, but my laptop's died enough. I can't read. I've nothing in my head anymore.
I think if you type in pontingwines.com.au, which I could do right now, and like nothing comes up, you know, what's the next thought? The next thought, I'll try a .com.
Maybe it's .org. Let's see,
but it is .au. Now I'm going to type in, Just because I reckon they've thought this. I'm doing pontingwines.com, and sure enough, redirect to pontingwines.com.au.
No.
You know, so is that even right? Hang on. I'm just doing this now. Pontingwines.com. Let's get rid of the .au. And are we getting a redirect? It's thinking. I think it might just be sending me to Google.
Well, I think now that we've had this conversation, people will know. Well, okay.
You go to GoDaddy. You can actually purchase that URL
if
yourself.
If that's what you want to do.
If you want to do that.
Yeah.
And then do that, then redirect it.
Yeah. Or you can just do it and you can sell mannequins on that website.
So mannequins.com.
Mannequins.com.
Someone did do that the other day.
Someone's going to do that now.
Well, yeah, the other day you kept talking about suckmydickgambling.com.
That's right, yeah.
So you type that in now and it goes to the that bloke giving the fire-up speech in Shepherd's Bush about a woman who finished 10th in the Olympics. Anyway,
fair fucks to us.
Something to think about. What happens when you go to mannequins.com? Hang on, let's just do this live.
Mm-hmm.
This is dangerous. And just loading. You can buy that too. So
okay. Well, if you want to do that and actually just redirect it to pondingwines.com.au, that'd be very helpful to everyone involved in case they're looking for a bottle of wine or a mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can use the code at both those websites, get a few for 20% off your order if that's what you want to do. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. I hope your team does the thing that you want them to do in the games ahead or the games past, present, and indeed the future. That doesn't make any sense. Have a great week, everyone. If you want to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/greatcricketer. Hashtag ask TGC Fridays. Guess when that's coming out, Pezza? Friday, indeed. See you guys on the internet real soon. Cheers.